Like I say, good morning to everyone. We're very thankful again this morning to be on the call and to be able to preach from the Word of God. We're thankful to each and every person who is on, especially those who may not be members of the Church of Christ. You are a very honored guest to be a peer of our call. We welcome you to our call, and we believe that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. We do believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on Calvary, where he suffered for 6 long hours, shed his blood, and washed our sins away in baptism. That same blood purchases church, the Church of Christ, the only church you ever read about in the Bible. We pray you will obey him this day, understanding you too must confess him before men, that he is the Son of God, and to be buried with him in baptism, thereby becoming a member of his church, his kingdom, the Church of Christ. To the visiting members of the Church of Christ across the nation who may be joining us on our call from other congregations, we welcome you as well to our call. Continuing our study of the book of Hebrews, we go to Hebrews chapter 6 this morning. In verse 10 is where we'll pick up from last week. This morning's title was, "It Was Impossible for God to Lie." Impossible for God to lie. Let's go to verse 10. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor and of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." The Hebrew writer, understanding that these Hebrew Christians, even though they had not grown to perfection, many of them, as we talked about earlier in sermons, that they needed to grow. But there were things that he did acknowledge here. After warning of falling away, we talked about last week, the Hebrew writer comes back with some encouraging words for these Hebrew Christians. It's something we need to hear and be encouraged even on this morning. Number one is to know that our God is not unrighteous. He will always do what's right. He will not forget our work. He will not forget our labor of love. He will not forget the love we've showed toward his name. He will not forget our ministry to the saints. One thing about it, Brother Brooks might forget. Others might forget, not recognize, not appreciate our works or your works or your labor of love. But rest assured that God will not forget what you're doing for the cause of Christ. Why is that? Our God is not unrighteous. Man is soon to forget, and many will take for granted many things that are going on in their life. And they may not appreciate you or show appreciation, but God will recognize to every servant on the call, realize when you're laboring for the cause of Christ, God remembers your labor because God is righteous. Those of you who are faithful workers in the Lord, brothers and sisters, listen carefully. We have to know whom we serve and why we are here. Because man will not always do what's right, but God will always do what's right, for he is righteous. I know sometimes if you're a member of the church and you've been a member a long time, it seems like when things get done, it's the faithful few who gets it done. And sometimes they get discouraged. But be encouraged this morning to know that God will not overlook your labor. I know some are discouraged because you try and you're working and sometimes you don't get recognized or you feel like you're unnoticed. You may get discouraged because you do your best, and your best doesn't seem like it's good enough for some. And they think that if they themselves or others could do it better. But I just say to you, don't give up, my brother. Don't quit. Keep doing what you've been doing. Keep working for the cause of Christ. And always remember, God is the one who's watching. And God is not unrighteous. But one day he will recognize and show his appreciation to you by saying, "Well done, that good and faithful servant." What is the message to us as leaders, myself, and others who lead in the congregation? We must be righteous and never partial. Recognize and appreciate saints who labor in love. And that recognition of labor and love should come in the form of telling people and encouraging them and edifying them to know what they're doing is for a worthy cause. Let's all remember that what we do as we serve the God, we're serving a righteous God. And everything we do brings glory to his name. Verse 11, what should we do? We desire the Hebrew writer said, that every one of you, and as I would say to you, I desire every person listening, every member of the Lord's church, that you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Here it is. We are to be diligent unto the end, knowing God is righteous, which assures us that we have the hope of eternal life. Not man. Don't put your eye on man, because God is righteous. Man, it can be unrighteous, but God is righteous. That in itself should give us full assurance of hope that's to unto the end. We must just keep doing what we're supposed to do when it comes to the cause of Christ. Standing up for what's right. Standing up for what's truth. Standing up for what's not right. And pointing out what's an error. Pointing out what's true. Reproving and rebuking and exhorting with all long-suffering. And doctrine, meaning the Bible. God is not unrighteous, you all. And he will come through for us, as we will see further in this text. In verse 12, he also, Hebrew writer, says to these Christians, that you be not slothful, don't be lazy, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. What must we do? Not be slothful, not be lazy, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 58, he said to the Corinthians, those Christians there in Corinth, he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. There it is right there. For as much as ye know, notice this, he said, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We must be followers, as the Hebrew writer says, of it, or imitators of men of God like Abraham, who was faithful and faithfully waited on God's promises. Listen to the Hebrew writer, verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Just like us, if we go to court, we put our hands on the Bible and say, I swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. We're swearing by one greater than the judge. That is the God of heaven. America knows there's no God greater to swear. That's why they make you put your hand on the Bible. But God says to Abraham, I swear by myself. Why God? Because there is no one greater than God. No one greater than him. He tells Abraham, I swear by myself. Because there is no greater. Here it is. We must hold, brothers, to God's unchanging hand and be encouraged this morning to never give up. Because just like God kept his promises with Abraham and to Abraham, his promises he will keep to us. Why? He swore by himself. He could swear by no one greater than himself. He said to Abraham, verse 16, saying, surely blessings I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. Oh, that's a blessing right there. God told Abraham, I'm a blessings, I will bless thee. God will shower blessings on those who wait on him. He has promised it. He cannot lie. He promised Abraham, and he came through. He promised Abraham he would bless him, and then he promised him that he would multiply his seed. So turn to Genesis chapter 22. Look at what God did and why he did. He kept his promises, because he cannot lie. But here's what Abraham had to do. There's a part that we play in this whole matter. Why did God bless Abraham? Look at verse 1, and we'll get the thought here in Genesis 22, in verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. And Abraham, notice, God told Abraham what to do. Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac, his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place which God told him. I will just pause here to say, God gonna keep his promises, but you and I, who want God to shower blessings upon us, when God say do something, we don't question it. We just do what the Lord has said done to do. Jesus commanded to go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you want to be saved, you must believe and then be baptized. Just do what the Lord told you to do, and you'll get your blessing. He said, live faithful unto death. That means even if you have to die, you'll get your eternal life. God has promised that, but you got to live faithful. That's to the members of the Lord's church. You got to live faithful to get your blessing. Then verse 4, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said unto the young men, abide ye here with the ass. I and the lamb will go yonder and worship, and again come to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac. Now, Isaac is his only son, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. They went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father, he said, here I am, son. And he said, behold, the fire and wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? This son understood that the sacrifice had to be made to worship God. There's a certain sacrifice in our life had to be made in order to worship God. But notice the example here. Abraham said, knowing God had told him to take his son, and he'd take his son and kill him as the sacrifice. But he said to his son, when the son questioned him, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. He knew that God would keep his promise. God will provide to himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. Notice he followed all of God's instructions. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound his son Isaac and laid him up on the altar of the wood. I often think what could have been going through that young man's mind, knowing that typically the sacrifice is an animal. But my father is laying me on this slaughter table to take me as a sacrifice of God. What must have been going through his mind? The Bible doesn't reveal. But Abraham is what the focus of in this text. Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife, visualize this. The boy's laying there. He's on the altar, tied up, and his father has this knife in his hand. And he stretched forth his hand and took the knife. And can you see it? He's coming down to slaughter or slay his son. And in the midst of the swing, the angel of the Lord called up, I am out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham paused and stopped. He said, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Am I? And the angel said, lay not thy hand upon the lad. What must have been going through Abraham's mind? Thank God I don't have to go through with the killing of my only son. Abraham, he said, need to do anything unto him. For now I know. Because he went to the full extent of obedience to do exactly what God said do. God said, now I know. The angel said, now I know that thou fearest God. What is important here is this. We go to the full extent of doing what God told us to do in obedience. That's how we show we fear God. That's why Solomon wrote, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us see the conclusion of the whole matter. We are to fear God. Number 2, keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. See, we get our blessings by keep fearing God. That's respect. That's respect for God, that he knows what he's doing, and trust and faith in him that he will come through. God will provide for those of his children who are faithful and obedient to him. He said, now I know thou fearest God. Here's how. Sins that I have not even withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Isn't that something? Abraham lifted up his eyes. I can just see him. He looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. See, sometimes, brothers and sisters, God will come through in a way you cannot see. He didn't know that lamb was there. See, our faith today, listen carefully, come by hearing. We build our belief on the word of God because God has said it. And because God cannot lie, he will provide. And you won't see the provision necessarily, but you would got to believe that God is going to provide. I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know where you are in your life. But I know this. If you're faithful to God, God will provide if you keep his commands and do what he says do. So Abraham now, see the offering. He believed it before he even saw it. He believed that God would provide. He told his son before he even saw it. See, we haven't seen heaven, but we know. We believe there's hope. There's hope for us if we believe. We walk by faith and not by sight. Notice this. Abraham called the name of the place. Excuse me, go back to verse 13. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. And it is said to this day, in the mouth of the Lord it shall be seen. You got to come to God to see by faith the blessings that he's offering to those of us. Why should we believe it? Because it's impossible for God to lie. Angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven. The second time he's back in heaven. He calls from him out of heaven. The angel of the Lord called him out of heaven the second time and said, here it is, by myself, I saw when this voice from heaven came from God. The Lord said, I did this. Ain't nobody greater than me. I told you, Abraham, that I would bless you. I would bless you with blessings. I swore to you, said the Lord, on my own name. Because thou hast done this thing. What did he do? We're going to see you in a second. And has not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing, here it is. This is what the Hebrew writer was talking about right here. I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed, talking about his children, as the stars of heaven. And as the sand which is upon the seashore, that seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in that seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because, here it is, here's the one reason that Abraham's going to get everything God promised him. Because thou hast, underline this, obeyed my voice. Why did Abraham receive his blessing? How are we blessed? Because Jesus came through that lineage. Because of his faith in God as his provider and his obedience to the commands and the will of God. So when did he get his blessing? When did he get all these blessings? Go back to Hebrew now, chapter 6 and verse 15. Hebrews 6:15. The Hebrew writer tells us when. He said, and so after he had patiently endured, he waited on God. He obtained the promise. After Abraham waited on God, patiently endured, he knew God would come through. He didn't know how, he didn't know when, but he knew God would come through. And God would provide if he just obeyed him. So he waited on God. He went to the last second. In the moment of the slate, God came through. God, in the last, when you least expect it, will come through for you. God blessed him to have a son named Isaac in his old age. God blessed Abraham to have his son. He blessed his son Isaac to have a son named Jacob. And Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And if you ever read the Old Testament, you'll know that Israel had 12 sons who come to know as the children of Israel, became God's chosen people. Truly, God kept his promise, which he swore by no greater to Abraham, and his seeds multiplied into a great nation. What is the lesson, y'all? What is the lesson for us? We got to believe that God, when God make a promise, we can believe like Abraham that your blessings are going to come. Blessings upon blessings will come because God cannot lie. He can't. He could swear by no one greater than himself. How many of you on the call this morning need blessings? Maybe you're going through something in your life. You need a blessing. Maybe you're on your sick bed. You need a blessing. Maybe you have a problem with your family. You need a blessing. Maybe you lost a loved one. You need a blessing. Maybe you're going through some mental challenges. You're troubled in your mind. Things are not going good in your life. Maybe you're young and you seem like you're not getting anywhere in life. You need blessings. Maybe it's because you haven't been faithful to God. You haven't been obedient to Him. Shouldn't we consider this? Our obedience can affect, or disobedience can affect our blessing. Show the same diligence and be faithful to God. Why? Because God will bless you like He said He would. Do you need blessings this morning? Why wouldn't you get baptized? Why wouldn't you obey the gospel this morning? Why wouldn't you become a Christian this morning? Why wouldn't you become a member of the Lord's church? Why wouldn't you do what God has told you to do? Or perhaps you're a member of the Lord's church and you have not been worshiping. You have not been attending services. You have not been faithful. You've fallen by the wayside. You haven't made your confession. You haven't asked God to forgive you. Not got back on track. You're going to miss your blessing. Why wouldn't you do that this morning so you can get your blessing? Look at Abraham. When you trust God, just wait on God to come through for you. God can come through. Let's go back to Hebrews, verse 16. For men verily swear by the greater. They ain't comparing God to man. An oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Yeah, as I said earlier, when we go to court or make an oath, they had us to swear by greater, knowing that God is the greatest we can swear to, or just a conversation with others. I'll just say this. Like when we was growing up, we say, like, oftentimes we say, somebody get in trouble, they say, well, I swear to God, I didn't do it. Didn't get out of trouble. But you know, a person, what Jesus said about that, your word should be your bond. I shouldn't have to swear to God. Listen to the Bible. Turn your Bible now. To Matthew chapter 5 and verse 34. Listen to this. Matthew chapter 5 and the verse is number 34. Listen to what Jesus said about this swearing to God. He says this. And I say unto you, let's go back to verse 33. Again, he had heard that it had been said by them of old time. Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But Jesus said, but I say, that's what they say, but here's what I say, swear not at all. neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shall thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. Here it comes. Here's how we should do. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than deeds coming evil. If I have to swear to God I didn't do it, this might say, did you do it? No. Did you do it? Yes. What God expects is that you shouldn't have to swear when you tell the truth. We shouldn't have to swear to God if we just be honest. When a person is dishonest, that's sinful. So Jesus said, your communication should be true. Did you do it? Yes. Did you do it? No. Anything coming after that goes to be evil. If I got to explain why I'm saying yes or no. You shouldn't have to explain it when you know that you're telling the truth. When a person questions you over and over and over, when you say yes, your answer should be yes. Yes. No. No. When a person questions you over and over, they don't trust your yes. Or they are not trusting your no. But let me say this. It's not on them. The yes is between you and God. And we say, well, I question you not because, no, you don't believe my yes. Or you don't believe my no. But what I can have comfort in is knowing that I'm telling the truth in the eye of the judge who is God. And I said it one time, and God knew I was telling the truth the first time I said it. That's a lesson there. It's a lesson for the person who is questioning you. There's a lesson to the person who's answering. Our answer is to God. If I lie, I have committed an evil. Who on the call can understand what I'm saying? What God wants for us is to be honest. Honest. Honest means you tell the truth. So when I was growing up saying, I swear to God, I didn't do it, most time you say those kind of things because you're trying to get out of trouble. I mean, you done that. Or you don't want the punishment to come with it. So you take it to a higher level, hoping the person who's listening, because you inserted God's name in it, will believe you more than your name. See, your name should stand for itself. That's why we have to understand a good name is a blessing. Having a good name means you have an honest report. And you don't have to swear to God when you're honest. Because dishonesty doesn't come from God. It comes from the devil, which cometh evil, what Jesus said. Now, he said, the Hebrew writer says, for men verily swear by the greater an oath of form. Confirmation is to them an end of all strife. They're trying to use God to end the conversation, to end the strife. But God don't have to do that. He don't have to end the conversation because he's never going to lie. The difference between us and God is that man will lie. But God cannot lie. And everyone listening need to understand. You may get away lying to me, but you're not going to get away lying to God. And he will keep his promise that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Why? Why, Brother Brooke? He's not going to change it. We're going to get to immutability here in a minute. He's not going to go back on the day of judgment and change the law for you or me. Sometimes we categorize sin like, well, you know, it ain't so bad that I lie or that I say a curse word or just I do this or that every once in a while. No, God forgive me. No, look here. Wrong is wrong. Sin is sin. Our responsibility as Christians is to live according to God's law, knowing that if we sin, he has given us a command to confess our faults, to make a confession. What are you doing when you make a confession? You're telling the truth. Who are you telling the truth to? God. Why do we go to the church and ask for prayer? We go to the church because the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. And even though a man may look righteous, that doesn't mean he or she is righteous. So if you ask Brother Bruce, am I going to make a confession before the church if I sin or when I sin? Yes. Why? I'm not going to pick and choose on who's righteous out there. I'm going to ask the whole church. And confession is a man being honest. Yes. No. And so, confirming the yes or no with additional information is not necessary if you know what you said was true in the eyesight of God. Now God, however, he will not swear no one greater than himself. Listen to what the Hebrew writer says in verse number 17. Wherein God, he would write, goes into wherein God, because of what he just said, willing more abundantly. God's will is there for us to show unto the heirs of promise. That's people who are going to get to see the street of gold, the wall of jasper, who will see heaven that we read about, the heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house. Here they come, many mansions. If not so, I told you. There's a place of dwelling in heaven if we believe it. If we're obedient, we will get there. He says, when God willing more abundantly show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, there's that word I was talking about, of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. God went above and beyond what man could do. By swearing by himself, or by swearing by no greater than him. He has given us oath that he will give us all his promise to his heirs. Those who are heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ will be none other than children of God who have been baptized and members of the one true church, the Church of Christ. How do you know that, Brother Brooke? That's in the Bible. God has put all of his words and he's not going to change it. I said, well, I just don't believe they're Christians. They're Christians only in the Church of Christ. But then you don't believe the promises, then. That's the problem. When you believe the Word of God, you know there's no greater oath. Whatever God has promised is immutable. He said it's immutability. His counsel comes from the Bible. Brothers and sisters, this is why we must stay with what the Bible teaches. Why? Everything God promised to us is immutable. That means unchangeable. That's the danger that one faces if they add or take away from the Word of God. John said in Revelation chapter 20. John said, I started dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. Everything we do is going to be judged. And the dead were judged, and other things were written in the book. The books are six books of the Bible, according to their works. Everything is going to be according to what's written in this book. John went on to say, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they would judge every man according to their works. Notice this. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's not going to change. If your name is not in the Lamb's book of life, you're not going to go to heaven. What is the lake of fire? It's hell. You can't go to heaven not doing what's written in the books. What's written in the books is God's promises. What's written in the book called the Bible is his counsel. And he's not going to change it on the day of judgment. This applies to all of us. God is not going to change on the day of judgment. And I said, well, you know, I'm relying on the grace of God. Well, the grace of God hung on the cross. The grace of God, according to Titus chapter 2, is when Jesus died. That's saving grace. In verse 11, Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men. Everybody have seen the grace of God. It teaches us, verse 12, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, it tells you what to stop doing, and that we should live up soberly, using good judgment, righteously, doing what's right, and godly, according to God's will, in this present world. Notice here come the hope. Verse 13, looking for a blessed hope and glorious appearance of that great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what are we saying this morning? God cannot lie. God says, if you don't believe the few going to be saved, then you believe God lied. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. This is why when people say, well, man, I just can't see it. Because your faith ain't in the written word of God. If you believe God, then you believe what Jesus said here, Matthew 7:13. Any end of the straight gate. Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many will go there. How many people we believe are going to be saved? Lost. Many. Why? Because that's what is in the council. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way to lead to life. And few there be to find it. This is why we can love the world all we want. And we do love the world. We love God. We love our neighbor. But at the end of the day, the reason Abraham got his blessing is because Abraham was obedient. And anybody we teach or share the truth with is on them to believe it and obey it. Our job is to preach the whole counsel of God, to teach the counsel of God, and teach what he promises to those. He said, Jesus said, few there be that find it. And here's where you have to be. Am I among the few that found the truth? I taught a young lady a couple of weeks ago, and it was simply, I just asked her, she was just struggling with, what about all the churches? I just don't understand. Growing up in the Baptist faith, I did too. Good people. But what they teach ain't in the counsel of God. There's no Baptist church in the Bible. So I simply just told her, well, let's just use math, for example. 2 + 2 = 4. Well, how do you know that's the truth? Well, we believe the math book. Well, the math book tells you how to add, how to subtract, how to divide, how to multiply. And if you believe the math book, and somebody come and say, hey, math book says 2 + 2 = 4, but I don't believe that. I believe 2 + 2 = 3. Well, the problem is not the person telling you. The problem is you believe in the person over the book. And so if you get there with the Bible, you no longer have a problem with a few be going to be saved. You don't have a problem with one church. You won't have no problem with none of that because you believe that what God promised, that people will be able to go to heaven if they obey him. You believe there's a heaven to win and a hell to miss. You will then believe what John said in Revelation 22:17. He said, the spirit and bride said, come. Let him hear it say, come. And let them that thirst come. And so whosoever will, let him take on the water of life for you. For I testify to every man to hear the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues of life that are written in this book. If any man take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Why? Because the things written in this book are the promises and the counsel of God who cannot lie. And brothers and sisters, no matter if it's me or you, if I don't keep the word of God, it applies to me. If you don't keep it, it applies to you. It don't matter who it is. No big eyes and little U's in the Lord's church. Don't ever look at that. You got to look at your life, and is it in keeping with the counsel, because you want the promise. God had made us promises in his word, and he has given an oath to confirm that I'm saying it. Therefore, you can be assured if you believe in the word. It's like this. It's one thing for me to say I'm going to do something for you, but it's an entirely different thing. And God said, I swear to God, I'm telling you, I'm going to do it. Why? He cannot lie. It's impossible. So we're lost when we die. God would be a liar if he saved us any other way than what he said in his counsel. Listen to this. Hebrew writer says it like this. If you understand what I just said, and you understand what the Hebrew writers will say here, that by two immutable things, it was impossible. That's the word, why it was impossible. He told, it was impossible to lie. We look back at what he told. At that time, it was impossible. He wouldn't lie. That's why Abraham got it. We might have a strong consolation and have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope said before. Paul reiterated what the Hebrew writer said in Titus 1:2. In Titus 1:2, Paul also said there. In Titus 1 and verse 2, if you go there, he says, in the hope of eternal life, he says to Titus, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God made a promise. And as children of God, we can be assured there are two things that will never change. Number one, the promises of God. Number two, his oath. He gave us his word in writing. That's why I'm going to keep doing it. That's why I'm going to keep preaching the book. That's why I'm going to do better at enforcing the law of the book. That's why I'm going to make my confession when I need to, because I know that God has made this promise. He's given us this oath. And all of us should think just like I'm thinking. He's not going to change it for us. And wherever we fall short, we ought to be working on it. We ought to be working on it. Because if we don't keep his word, if we don't keep his promises, it would make him a liar. And it's impossible for God to lie. It's possible for men to lie. to what Jesus said. Just say yes or no. If we keep his word, we know he's going to keep his word to us. We should flee to him for protection, for refuge, knowing that he would keep his promises. We should find consolation, Hebrews. That means encouragement. That he will bring us through. He will bring us through the storms of life, knowing that he will keep his word. It always gives us hope. The hope is not in others. The hope of eternal life is in God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Listen to the Hebrew writer, verse 19. The hope that we're talking about, you all, is the hope of eternal life. The hope of being with God. The hope to be there with him in a place called heaven, which we've never seen. We believe it because it's in his counsel. And he will be there. And God will wipe away all tears from my eyes. There'll be no more crying, no more dying, no more hospitals, sicknesses, evil things going on around us like we see every day, depressing things that are happening in the world we live in. God promised us there'll be a day when we won't hunger, we won't be thirsty. God will be with the Lamb in the midst of the throne. And God, the Revelator said, will wipe away all tears from the eye. Somebody said, Brother Brooks, don't cry. God gave us tears to cry. He gave us tears so he could keep his promise. And I get a little pushy this morning because I think it's appropriate. I still cry over the loss of my dear wife. My children still cry over the loss of their mother. But one day, God will wipe those tears. And there'll be no crying. No more. Tomorrow marks the third year of the loss of my wife. And I still cry. But a sermon like this, it gives me that consolation, that hope. Because God can't lie. That one day, I'll never have to cry again. I'll never have to cry. I'll never have to do it. How did it make you feel? I solicit your prayers for me, for my kids, my grandkids, my mother-in-law, the Brooks Bloodbreak family, that we all can find hope and strength because God has promised. And what comes with that counsel and promise is an assurance that if you live for me and you obey me like Abraham, there's going to be a ram in the bush. And I'm going to come through for you. If you just hold to God as anchor. And we know when you believe in God, you believe the council says, it's appointed unto man once to die. That's in the same council. We can't live expecting not people not to die. Well, it's impossible for God to lie. I'm going to die. You're going to die. Our loved ones are going to die. Because that's in the council. But the promise is about a hereafter death. There's a group out there now, I was alerted of some sign in Houston that there is no word about nothing. When a man dies, he's just digging. No afterlife. Just live your life and enjoy life. There's somebody out there teaching that. Somebody brought that to my attention. I haven't really researched it, but I know what that person said. What's on that sign is a lie. Because I believe the counsel of God says there is something. So y'all pray for me. The Hebrew writer says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. This is the internal man we're talking about. Not the physical body that we're in, but the soul for which it dwells in it. The Hebrew writer is telling these Christians, we have hope as an anchor. And when you got a ship, the only hope for that ship staying where it's supposed to be and not drifting off and wrecking is that anchor holds it to where it's at. Holds it in place. Our hope is an anchor. It holds us to God because we believe that he's going to keep his promise. We believe in the oath. And we're going to flee to him for refuge. Because God has revealed it in his word. And because we believe his word, it will anchor us, hold us into the ship during the storms of life. When storms are raging, the hope that God didn't lie, that God promised us, the hope will hold us to God's unchanging hands. That's why we sing the song, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust his sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Our Christ, the solid rock we stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. The Hebrew writer is sending an encouraging message. And I hope I'm doing it this morning, bringing it to light, bringing it, making it live for you. You can leave this call. Say, man, what a great encouragement to know no matter what I'm going through, my soul is all right. All is well with my soul. The Hebrew writer said, both sure and steadfast, which enter into that within the veil under the old law, the holiest of holies. You had to go through the veil and get to the holy of holies. And that was a type of heaven. Our hope is not that we're not going to struggle. Our hope is not, in fact, that we're not going to suffer or cry or be sick or lose loved ones. No. That's not the hope. The hope is in heaven. That we'll make heaven our home one day. Whether they're forerunners for us, in it, even Jesus, made a high priest at the order of Melchizedek. What was the order of Melchizedek? He was a king and a high priest at the same time. He was both king and high priest. Jesus has entered into heaven, sitting on the right hand of the Father. He's king and our high priest. And God cannot lie. He's preserved his family among those who are subject to true worship. True worship means we stick with what God told us, and God will keep his promise. He already did it. He kept his promise like he did Abraham. He sent his only begotten son, and he laid him on the altar. And that altar was the cross, where his son, no angel would stop the slinging of the sword. They drove nails in his hands and his feet. It was at the cross, where I first saw the light. The song goes, were you there when they crucified our Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Tremble. God kept his promise that he would send a Savior. He did it. You want to know what? You got it by now. He cannot lie. Did his son die? Yes, he did. Did his son suffer? Yes, he did. Did his son bleed the blood? Did his son get the whipping? Did he wear the crown of thorns? Did he carry the tree to Calvary? To Golgotha, the place of the skull? Oh, the resounding answer has to be, yes, he did, Brother Bruce. Why you believe it? Because my God cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. And after that, they buried him after he died. Did he get buried? Yes. And God raised him up on the third day, Sunday, as we call it. The first day of the week, early on the first day of the week, after being suffering for us, he rose with all power. He said, go into all the world and teach the gospel. Preach the gospel to every creature. Go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And just so you know, that's a command. And God is not going to go back on his promises. He's not going to go back and change the oath. You got to obey it. And as Abraham, blessings will come. God kept his promise. He gave us a hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you believe that with all of your heart, and you really believe it, and you really believe everything I've talked about this morning, then you'll be a candidate for baptism. Because you believe that baptism saves, because it's in the council. 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism does also not save us. You believe it because Jesus commanded. It's in the council. He promised that baptism, that the blood will wash away your sins. Revelation 1:5. He promised it. It's in his oath. It's in his council. So we know blood is going to wash away the sin. The same blood purchased his church. How we know? It's in the council. It's in the Bible. Everything we're talking about is in the Word of God. God has promised us eternal life. He's promised us a home not made with hands. God has promised us a home in heaven where the street is gold and the wall of jasper. A place where we can flee for refuge, for no more pain, crying, and dying. But we all must remember that we'll also be true to his promises of those who are disobedient. Will you be faithful to God? God said through Isaiah, as I close, look unto me Isaiah 45:22. God says through Isaiah, look unto me and be ye saved. Look to God to be saved. In all the ends of the world. For I am God, he says. It's just like Jesus said, come to me. All ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. It's a promise. There's hope. You come to me. I'll give you rest. That's what Jesus said. That's what God is saying. You look to me. I am God. I have sworn by myself. That's where the Hebrew writer got it from. The word is gone out of my mouth, God is saying. In righteousness. It shall not return. That not, that unto me, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Every knee will bow, and every mouth will confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You're going to do it. You're going to do it. All of us are going to do it. But the important thing is, if you believe this message, then you will do that immediately. You do that while you're living. Confess Jesus to be the Son of God before me. And Jesus said that in Matthew 10:33-34. If you confess me before me, I'll confess you before my Father. That's a promise. It's going to be kept. Why? God, it's impossible for God to lie. He cannot. So when he calls, come. Would you come this morning? Come to Jesus. All your blessings and hope to go to heaven will be realized if you remain obedient to God. Lord, I want to be a Christian. Shit, everybody should want to be a Christian. I want to be a Christian. Why? Because God cannot lie. And Christians will be saved, Acts 2:47. And I want my soul saved. And so therefore, I render my body to be buried with him in baptism. Because when I'm baptized, that's when I become a Christian. Maybe you're on the call this morning, and you're a member of the Church of Christ. You still got hope. You got hope because you're still living. But you got to do what Abraham did. You got to do God's will. If you need to make a confession, you need to repent. Repentance ain't something you do to me. He said, brother, says, I am repentant. No, that's between you and God. The confession, though, is you admitting, yes, your communication is I have sinned. Well, what's in it? That's not what we're talking about. What's in it? It's the heart that's been humble enough to say, I have sinned. And as I said last week, the people who cannot confess their fault are lifted up in pride. And that's going to be your great fall. Because you want to know why? God is in a resisting mode. He resists prideful people. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. God resisted continuation, the pride, and give it grace to the humble. Want your grace? Let go of your pride. Because God cannot lie. It's impossible. It means I'm going to keep resisting you as long as pride is keeping you from saying yes or no. Your yea be yea, and your no be no. You don't have to swear. Because God already knows the truth. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And God then will exalt you in due time. Lord, I want to be a Christian. Anybody on the call want to be a Christian? I've given you the steps of plan. Become a Christian, that is, that you hear the word of God And in the Word of God is to preach the gospel of His Son suffering on the cross, dying for your sins according to the Scripture. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Believe that with all of your heart. Repent of your sins, number 3, or you're going to perish. Luke 13:3-5. Confess you believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God before men. Step 4. And then step 5, be baptized. When you're baptized, you receive the gift of eternal life, and that is the Holy Spirit, which is a gift of eternal life. When you obey the Spirit, you can get eternal life. If you don't obey what the Spirit gave us, which is the Word of God, you will never get eternal life. And then next, you must live faithful, obedient. And obedience means when I fall, I get up. I repent. I confess. Obedience is being faithful to worship, doing the things you should be doing, doing the things God has told you to do in the Word. If you're on the call this morning, you want to be a Christian, we want you to let us know by hitting 5-star on your phone. If you're on the call this morning, and perhaps you've just been encouraged through the message, or you know you want some blessings, or you need to make a confession, or you just want to thank God for blessing you to be a Christian, we'll pray for you, we'll baptize you, we'll pray with you. May God bless you. Brother Brooks, love you. And I know you love me too.